Joining me now is Alec Skarlatis, and he is from Roseburg, Oregon.
Yes.
And Alec, people might recognize your name. Just give us a brief, like, a little synopsis of how you came to the forefront, sort of media attention.
Well, after deployment to Afghanistan, me and two of my friends decided to tour Europe, and we were actually the three Americans that helped stop that terrorist attack on a train to Paris about 4 years ago. And then we wrote a book, and Clint Eastwood made it into a movie.
So now you're going through Oregon talking to people about your run for Congress.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about where you stand, some of your points that you want people to know about you, so that they can kind of get an idea of who you are.
Well, probably my biggest three issues are the timber industry. I'd like to manage our forests to help prevent forest fires and reinvigorate the economy in Southern Oregon, especially, that's been on the decline since the early 90s. I'd like to see some reform in the VA system, because I'm a veteran myself, and we have veterans killing themselves in VA parking lots and dying just because of wait times. I mean, I just don't think the government does a good job of medical care, especially if you look at how they run the DMV and the post office. It's just not a good idea. And then obviously I'm very pro Second Amendment, just due to the fact of my life experiences almost dying in the middle of a gun-free continent. And I mean, I usually carry every day, and of course I couldn't there, and we almost died as a result. And even 6 weeks after the terrorist attack, there was a shooting at my college, Umpqua Community College, and 9 people were killed. And then shortly after that, my friend from the terrorist attack, Spencer, was stabbed, I think, 5 or 6 times in a bar in downtown Sacramento. And he couldn't carry either because it was in California. So there's been a lot of experiences in my life that either could have been mitigated or people could have been saved if someone had carried a gun.
Well, let's just hit the timber part first.
Sure.
We are, because of federal regulations and even some Oregon stuff, we have really cut back on the amount of timber that we are pulling out of our forest now, even though it's a renewable resource.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's something that, you know, loggers will tell you, they go in there, they replant. So What do you think needs to be done? Is it change of federal law to reinvigorate it, or is it something that the state needs to work on?
Well, I think it's both state and federal. But I think the federal is a much bigger mess.
Because I think the state kind of wants to bring some of that revenue.
Even if the state doesn't want to, there's no real legal obligation like there is on the federal side. The federal government, throughout the previous ONC agreement in right around 1991 under Clinton. And I think one way, at least, that you could fix that is making the ONC laws equal to the Endangered Species Act, so that the Endangered Species Act doesn't just supersede the ONC laws that had been in agreement for over 70 years. And I think if you could make them work in concert with that, so that there's still a minimum of 500 million board feet being harvested on ONC lands while still trying to protect the spotted owl, I think that would be a good compromise, because right now I think we're doing maybe 270 million board feet, which is almost half of the previous mandatory minimum and what I think about a fifth of the rate of sustainability, which is 1.2 billion. And it's not good for anybody in the timber industry, any of these logging towns in Southern Oregon that are all dying off, all the counties in Southern Oregon that are going bankrupt because they don't have ONC money to offset the lack of property taxes, because the federal government owns all this land and doesn't pay them anything for it.
And some of the education money that's spent on that too.
So. Absolutely.
I personally think that the most endangered species is the one that we don't really take care of, and that's us, you know, the human species. So let's go to the Second Amendment rights there. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a fan. I mean, you know, concealed carry, I think, is a great thing for responsible people. How do you feel about the expansion into, you know, the AK-47s, the M16s and AR-15s and stuff like that?
Well, I think it's a very slippery slope, because if you actually look at, for instance, like the 1994 assault weapons ban, it didn't decrease crime at all. They only banned AK-47s and AR-15s, which, frankly, is just banning a gun based on how it looks. functionally an AR-15 is no different than, say, a Mini 14, but yet that was still legal under the 94 assault weapons ban.
Well, and yet if anybody knows, like a Ruger 10/22, you put a 50 or 100 round clip in a 10/22, and you can pull the trigger just as fast and well, throw rounds out. I mean, even though it's a lower caliber, but still.
Yeah, but I mean, the point is that they banned these guns based on just looks, and that's exactly what they're talking about now. If you want to ban all semi-automatic rifles, then let's have that discussion. But don't say you just want to ban AK-47s and AR-15s, because right. that's just stupid. You're just picking out the guns that look the scariest to ban, and it's not, it got nothing to do with functionality. And I think that's the thing that really upsets gun owners, is the fact that the people trying to ban guns don't really know anything about them. If you want to have an intelligent discussion on what guns to ban, I'll still disagree with you, but right. at least I can't say you don't know what you're talking about. Right. And that's not the case right now.
Well, I mean, you look at, in a situation where a semi-automatic weapon is brought into a school or something like that. Someone with concealed carry that is on premises there, that is there, might only have a 9mm, but he can stop that assault ban, I mean, or that assault gun from firing. So he doesn't need an assault gun to fight the assault gun.
Well, that's the thing. People get the impression, because of the media and a lot of misconceptions, that assault weapons, which they actually aren't, are somehow more lethal, and they're not. A semi-automatic AR-15 is no more lethal, in my opinion, than a 9mm handgun. It just can shoot a little bit farther. It's not any more deadly, especially the caliber. I mean, it's a varmint caliber. It's not even meant for shooting things the size of people. So there's this misconception based on the media that they're somehow more lethal, and they're really not. I mean, nobody wants to talk about banning AR-10s, for instance, and they're probably twice as lethal as an AR-15. But again, people in the media and people on the other side don't really know a lot about guns, so they don't realize that. So they just want to ban AR-15s and AK-47s, and it's just, it kind of doesn't really, it doesn't really give much credibility to their argument when they don't really know what they want to ban.
So I think that what I hear you're saying is that education needs to be one of the primary things when people are talking about what to do with the Second Amendment. I mean, it has, there has to be education on knowing the differences.
Absolutely. And I mean, even like banning bump stocks, people just don't really – I just think people don't realize – what these guns are actually capable of. I mean, again, a lot of misconceptions in the media. People think assault weapons are fully automatic. They think fully automatic weapons are still legal in the United States, and they're not. And I think there just needs to be more education on the side trying to ban them, because a lot of the things that they think are legal are already illegal, and they're wanting to put more restrictions on responsible gun owners that are only going to affect responsible gun owners and not affect the actual criminals that are committing these heinous crimes and shootings. And that's the real people we need to worry about. We don't need to make it harder for veterans and people trying to defend their families to get guns. We need to make it harder for criminals to get guns, and that's what they're overlooking.
And that's one of the things back, I think, in the 70s, they even one of the lines was, you know, if you take away the guns, only criminals will have guns.
Well, you know, I do believe that's absolutely true. And I mean, look at Mexico. They only have one legal gun store in the entire country, and they have tons of gun violence. I mean, they just outshot the Mexican military, the cartel did, and they had fully automatic saws. They had rocket launchers. They had Browning 50 caliber machine guns, and they're not getting those from the United States.
That's another whole issue altogether. So you're running for Congress, and I guess that pretty much says it there. You're running for Congress.
Absolutely.
So, but thank you for your service, and get the word out there. I'm sure you'll have a fun time going through the district and letting everybody know what's going on.
Yeah, well, it's definitely exciting. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oscar Lavis, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you all for tuning in. That's our November edition of Our Town. We'll be back next month with more. Well, it'll be jingalinga time. The holiday season will be upon us, and we'll probably have some holiday-themed interviews coming up in the December edition of Our Town.